This evening, if you have your Bibles, it will turn with me to 2 Samuel. We want to continue our study into the life of David, and we're in 2 Samuel chapter 2. Last Sunday, we studied about the remorse that David incurred for Saul. Saul had been killed at the hand of the Philistines in the battle of that was located in Jezreel, which is up in this area right here. Jezreel actually is the battle where Armageddon will be fought, by Mount Megiddo. And this evening we're going to be looking at David, and he is going to begin to establish his kingdom. But one of the amazing things is, as we look at chapter 2 of Judges. A lot of times we think that the divided kingdom came about at the time after Solomon died. But actually the divided kingdom came prior to that. And the divided kingdom came before David became king over all of Israel. And we're going to be looking a little bit at that this evening. And so let's begin by reading in 2 Samuel chapter 2. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up." David said, "Whither shall I go?" And he said, "Unto Hebron." And David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. Now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness because you have done this thing. Therefore, now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Saul hath anointed me king over them." And Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. And made him king of Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, and over all Israel. And Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. In the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. And Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, the servants of David, went out and met together in the pool of Gibeon, and they sat down one on one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. And just pause here. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will just be with us this evening and help us as we look into your word, and help us to understand what's going on. And Lord, help us to see that even though you had anointed King David to be king of Israel, yet Satan attempted to circumvent your desire. Lord, help us to see the importance of looking to you even as David did. Speak to us now through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's interesting as you look at this particular passage of scripture that, David, who had been down in Ziklag, which was way down over here in this area, down in southern, south of Gaza. Gaza's there. And, was down in here, and the king of Gath had given David the city of Ziklag for him to live in. But after Saul died, David inquired of the Lord, well, what should I do now? If David had been anointed king of Israel by Samuel before Samuel died, and he'd been 15 years fleeing from Saul, and now Saul is dead. And the first thing that David does, he inquires of the Lord. And this is something that we can learn from David, is to inquire of the Lord for direction. And David learned to do this. This is one thing Saul never, ever did. The only time that Saul inquired of the Lord was when things got so difficult that he had nowhere else to go, but he hadn't sought God, so he really had no fellowship or relationship with God. And so God oftentimes did not direct Saul when he inquired of him, because he was inquiring oftentimes for the wrong reasons. David really wanted to know, what do I do? I'm supposed to be king of Israel, but I don't know where to go. Where should I go? Now, I want you to understand, David is in the area of Judah, which is this area right here. And as David is in Judah, he had helped men of Judah, the families of Judah. Remember when the Amalekites had come up and attacked Ziklag, and destroyed the city of Ziklag and took all of the all of David's men's families, including David's wives and their possessions, and they took them and headed back down south into this area down here, which where they were from, in the where the Edomites were, because they were part of the Edomite people, descendants of Esau. And we see that David pursued after them and gained everything back, including the possessions of Judah, because the Amalekites had also attacked the cities of Judah and taken captive their people and their possessions. David gained it all back. Now, David could have kept everything for himself, but he didn't. What he did is he returned the things of Judah onto the people of the cities of Judah. He actually returned things to the cities of the Philistines that they had taken from the Philistines. And he was an amazing person that way. And that he had no desire to gain at the expense of others, but he was there to be used by God to help others. Well, now David is ready to become king. And he goes and he asks the Lord, where should I go? The Lord tells him to go to Hebron. Well, Hebron isn't on this map, but Hebron is located probably right about there. You see here is Beersheba. Hebron is over here, more towards the Dead Sea. But Hebron is an interesting city. Of all the land of Israel, Hebron was the only place that Abram ever bought any land. And Abraham had been promised all of this land, all of what is marked as Israel up over there, and including what is the Golan Heights, which is this area here, up here. This is the Sea of Galilee. Golan Heights is here, and then going down into here. And God had promised all of that to the descendants of Israel. And as we see that David is to become king over all of this, God directs him to go to Hebron. And Abraham had purchased a cave for his burial and Sarah's burial, as well as became the burial place of Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and his first wife. And that they were all buried in the cave at Hebron, and that cave is marked there today, and for the people, Arabs and those that claim to be Palestinians, that claim it's theirs, no, Abraham actually purchased it, and it's him and his son and his grandson and their wives that are buried there. And even to this day, Jewish people have a difficult time going down to that area. We met those of you who know Menno a number of years ago. He spoke here, and his daughter was in the military, IDF, in Israel a few years ago when we were over there, and she had been stationed at Hebron, and he said it was a very dangerous place to be stationed because the people don't like the Jewish people that live in Hebron today, and there's not a lot of Jews that live there. But that's where David was instructed to go. And so we see that David began to establish his kingdom. The first place that he established his throne was in Hebron. And I want you to see the first people that will be his, that will acknowledge him as king. And we said in verse 4, "And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul." And so we see that the first group and the first tribe of the descendants of Jacob that anointed King David and acknowledged him to be their king was the house of Judah. And part of that was because of what David had done for them. And they also were acknowledging what God had said about David, that he was to be the king of Israel. So David's first throne was at Hebron. It wasn't in Jerusalem. And that's where he began to rule from. But as we saw, as we read later on, another thing that he did is he acknowledged the men of Jabesh-Gilead. The men of Jabesh-Gilead, they were from up in the what would be the Golan Heights area today, because they were part of the 2.5 tribes that were on the east side of the Jordan. And we know that they had gone over and recovered the body of King Saul and his sons that had been put on the walls of the city that the Philistines had taken over. And then at night they came and took the bodies down, and they took them back, and they burned the bodies, and then they buried their bones. And so they were told, David was told of them by the men of Judah what they had done. And I want you to see what David did. We would probably say, well, why is that a big deal? Well, to David, it was a huge deal. Because what they were doing by saying that, they were acknowledging the significance of Saul, and they were honoring him and his family. And Jonathan had been so close to David, it says they were of one spirit, and they both loved the Lord. He honored Saul as his king, even though Saul was attempting to kill him. He never showed disrespect or dishonor to Saul, and could have killed him on two occasions that were given in Scripture. And the thing is, he didn't, and he honored him. And so, when he found out the men of Jabesh-Gilead did this, the first thing he did is he sent messengers over there to encourage them and to let them know how appreciative he was of what they had done, and that they had honored Saul, who was, and it says, their Lord in little letters, meaning their king or the one that was over them. And he says, it's wonderful what you did in acknowledging him. And so we see that David is gaining respect to people that are up here, as well as the tribe of Judah. But he's got a problem in that there's a man by the name of Abner that was Saul's right-hand man. And Abner was in charge of all of Saul's army. He was, if you would have in our country, he was the Secretary of Defense and the Minister of War, whatever you wanted to call him. But that was his job, to be over the armies of Saul. And when he heard that David was king, he went to try and arrange to have Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, become the king. Now it says that David ruled for 7.5 years from Hebron, and Ishbosheth only ruled 2 years. So why can that be? And then we saw at the very end of what we read today that the armies of Saul under Abner, that were left over, and the men of David came and met and were facing each other off. So there's about to be a civil war. And what happened to the other 5.5 years? Well, in reading, and the scriptures are kind of silent, what happened with Ishbosheth, why it took him five and a half years to get his kingdom established in the northern part. But you remember the Philistines, which were down here, had gone over and had waged war in the Jezreel Valley up northeast of where their cities were. And then it says that the people that were living in these cities up here that were Israelites had fled. And the Philistines had taken over their cities. So it probably took 5 years for Abner and the armies of the northern tribes to get the Philistines and drive them back to Philistia, out of their lands. And we see then that once they had done that, then we come and it says in verse 8, and Abner the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth the son of Saul and brought him over to Mahanaim and made him the king over Gilead and over the Asherites and over Jezreel and over Ephraim and over Benjamin and over all of Israel. Now, all of Israel except Judah. He wasn't king over Judah. David was king over Judah. So already you see that you have Benjamin, the tribe of Judah would go about to here, and Benjamin is located right in here, and then the other tribes are up here. Simeon would have its inheritance in Judah. So you'd have Simeon and Judah that would have been under David's rule. The other tribes would have been under Ishbosheth's rule. And so we see that that's exactly the way that the kingdom was divided after the time that Solomon died and Rehoboam took over and Jeroboam took over in the northern tribes. And so the real division began before David came to complete power. And that's why it's even more miraculous when you look at what happened today in Israel, where they came back as one nation. Because they have a history of being two separate nations. And yet, they came into the land as one people. They were divided at the time of David, before David. They came under David's authority. They were under Saul's authority. And then they were divided, a divided kingdom again, until they came back out of captivity from the time of Babylon, when they came back. And then we see that there are people from the northern tribes that appear in the scripture after the Babylonian captivity. But there was these two kingdoms. Well, it's interesting to look at the players that are going on here and what's going on. We have Ishbosheth, the Saul's son, and then we also have Abner, Saul's host of his army, captain of his host. And then we go down in verse 12, and it says, Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Jeruiah, and the servants of David, went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon, and they sat down, the one on one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. And so we're introduced now to David's captain of his host, and that's going to be Joab. Now, it's interesting, Joab, it says, I just want to go down and get you down a little bit. We're going to get a little ahead of ourselves as far as what we want to look at next week. But I just want to introduce you to some of Joab's relatives. And it says in verse 18, and there were three sons of Jeruiah, And there are Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Now, Joab, and these are his two brothers, his mother is Zeruiah. Zeruiah was David's sister. So these three men are David's nephews. As far as age-wise, they're probably close to David in age, just a little younger than him. Because, as we remember, going back, Jesse had seven sons, and David was the youngest, but he also had sisters. And David was the youngest that's listed and said that he's the youngest. If he was the youngest, even younger than his sisters, these nephews of his could literally be about his age. And my wife comes from mom and dad had big families, and both of them, both her mother and her father, especially her dad, he had brothers that could have been his dad. Her mom had cousins that were the same age as she was. And so we see that when you have large families, that can happen. And that's what was the case here. And these three men were extremely loyal to David. And Joab became loyal to David and became his captain of his hosts when David ruled, even after he became king. And next week we're going to be studying about this civil war that's about to break out. The beginning of this civil war happens at this pool by Gibeon. And why do we say that the civil war breaks out there? Because they meet there, these two men with their armies, meet at the pool at Gibeon. And one is on one side of the pool and the other is on the other side of the pool. And they're vying for control over all of Israel. And Abner wants Ishbosheth to be in control because Abner really is the one that would be in control because he can control Ishbosheth. And he cannot control David. And also, Joab is going to become Abner's chief rival. And you will see throughout, as long as Abner is living, he is the chief rival of Joab, even when David becomes king. They're not real close buddies. And we need to understand at the beginning of all of this happening and David's establishing his kingdom and God coming over, the foundation of David's kingdom. It begins with Judah is the only nation, along with Simeon, because they're part of Judah, that are committed to David. The rest of Israel is committed to the house of Saul. And that becomes the same breakup, as I mentioned, at the time of Rehoboam. And also, they went into captivity separately. The northern tribes went into Assyria, and the southern tribes went into Babylon. So you begin to see how God orchestrates things. First of all, how he's going to bring them together, and then how men again separate them, but again how God brings them together. And all of the Jewish people today are of one house, Israel. And they're all viewed as Jewish, and it's interesting, the term Jewish comes from the house of Judah. And that's where the term Jew comes from. But they are really Israelites, the descendants of Israel, or Israel. Well, let's just close the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this background into the events that are going to be transpiring as you begin to bring David to power and establish his kingdom. And Lord, may we see that your promises are true, and even though men have their own desires and try to quell you from doing what you have said you will do, you do accomplish and fulfill your word. You had anointed David king over all of Israel, but it began with the house of Judah. And may we see as the events unfold in the chapters ahead, that you will bring David to be the king that unites all of Israel under his authority, but really under your authority. Lord, may the Jewish people today understand that you are their true king. And Father, may they look to you. And Lord, may you be with them in all that's going on in the Middle East right now and in the land of Israel. And Father, I pray that you would just give them wisdom and may they look and turn to you. And may they seek your guidance. And Lord, help us to understand the great mercy and grace that you've shown us, that we're not part of the house of Israel, but yet you crafted us in. And Father, we have made to us to be your children. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to see the great privilege that we have in being called your sons and daughters. Now, Lord, go with us and help us to understand this and share with others the hope we have in Jesus. This we ask in your name, for your sake and glory. Amen. If you would turn with me to hymn number 137.